Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got to listen to Brian Broaddus very closely sometimes. He'll drop some nuggets. He's not going to blow it up or magnify it because he never wants the attention. He throws out all the dimes and all the assists. He's fine with everyone else talking about it. But sometimes he'll drop these little nuggets, and I'll text him and say, did you just say what I thought you said? And it happened the other day as he was on The Fan, and he said, I thought that Jason Garrett was one of the last to want Dez gone. And that changes a narrative, right? The Garrett guys, that it was Linehan and Garrett and Dak and Witten that were responsible for Dez Bryant rolling out. Let's clarify it right now with Brian Broaddus, DallasCowboys.com, buyersafety.com hotline. Good morning, Double B. How you doing?
Doing well. Sorry, I jumped in there on you. I was, I was kind of like agreeing with what you said. I absolutely said that. And, you know, we were kind of working on our shows around here, and you know, I have people at the Star every once in a while walk up to me and say, hey, listen, man, this is something you kind of need to know. And I was, I'm like, yeah, I'm all ears. What do you got? And they were talking about Garrett. He was the one guy that when they came down to it, he was the one of the last ones to say, okay, we need to do this. And we've always talked about Jerry Jones and how they like to have a consensus here. Stephen Jones talks about it when he's on the program, about when they do draft stuff. And so it's important for them to have opinions. Rich Dalrymple, in his release that he crafted for Jerry Jones, even talked about the voices and, you know, at the crossroads and the way they come about their decisions. So, yeah, it was it took a little bit of coaxing, and they got their consensus. I was told that Jason Garrett was one of the last ones to come around on that.
And your point all along, we cannot forget that this coaching staff is probably on the hot seat.
They're not probably. They're on the hot seat.
They're on the hot seat.
Yeah, so I'll drop that nugget on you, too.
That's an exclusive.
Yeah, exactly.
So you would want your win-now players on your team.
Sure.
If you're Jason Garrett, Dez is probably, you know, more of a win-now guy than not, right?
No, absolutely. And that's why this draft is really, really important. The one thing they have been able to do is draft players. Now, Jason Garrett does not need projects that are going to play in week 7 or week 8.
Right.
He needs guys. If I'm Jason Garrett, I understand I have 10 picks. I am trying to move around that draft. I'm trading for Earl Thomas. I'm doing whatever I have to do to get the best 53-man roster I can get together. And, you know, I feel like, though, that it's, you know, for him, it's, you know, they've done things the right way when it comes to draft. They've thought about things in free agency. Well, let's see if free agency actually does help them a little bit this year. The last couple of years, they've been really down. We've asked questions to Stephen Jones about it. He knows they need to be better. Well, maybe this time around that they got some guys that can actually help them and supplement some things that they could do that will allow them to draft better and not force picks like if they had not done that.
Have you heard some of this Cowboy All or Nothing audio?
Oh, I've watched the whole thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What jumps out?
Well,
Or surprises you?
I do feel like that people are going to see Jason Garrett in a different side. Yeah. And you know, there's a couple of scenes there where it's very, very clear that, you know, you ask him for leadership, you ask him for accountability, you ask him, you know, I think the problems that I've always had are a little bit more X's and O's with him, because I Mike Fisher has come on the station and talked about, you know, Jason Garrett is a fiery guy and all that. You know, behind the scenes, in front of the camera, he's, you know, a totally different guy. We like to talk about Robot Jason and stuff like that. But, you know, you do see the accountability. You do see the passion. You do see the way that he organizes things, you know, which I think is a strength of his. But, yeah, it was very telling in a lot of ways. Like I say, if you don't know Jason Garrett, you're going to get a different idea of really what he's all about.
Brian Broaddus, DallasCowboys.com lead scout on the buyersafety.com hotline. Yesterday, your draft board was released.
Yeah.
How does this get put together, and what were some of the biggest battles on here?
Well, it's really, we've been working on it since the first week of December, and so that's a lot of nights. You know, I give KT and Jeff a lot of credit. They have jobs during the day like you guys do, and trying to provide content and pre-draft meetings or pre-show meetings, and so it's long days for them, and for them to sit with me and watch tape till 11 o'clock on most nights during the week, I think says a lot about the passion they have for the draft, but also how important it is not to sound like a jack you know what when we do this draft coverage. And yeah, we can have segments, and we can have quality segments. And yeah, it's a long, long process. And, you know, it's not always easy, because, you know, you have the understanding of, hey, I like this player because of this. And, you know, we've been doing this now for 5 years, and I've learned, maybe the first couple of years I would question what these guys would say. And I think now in year five, I'll ask Jeff Kavanaugh, hey, what do you think? KT, really, what are you looking at with this guy? You know, and when I get a little confused, I'll lean on those guys. Excuse me. A little bit. I'll lean on them and try and you know, get a little bit of a better idea. But, yeah, I think the hardest one that we had, this draft clearly has wide receivers in it. It clearly has running backs in it, and it clearly has cornerbacks in it. And those were the positions that seemed to be the deepest on the board, and that's where the troubles and the problems come, is when you're trying to – you have a large number of guys, and you want to whittle it down. You don't want 280 guys on your draft board. You want that thing pretty tight where it could be about 200 players. You know, you want the guys you want. You just don't want to put names up there to put names up there. So that discussion of the wide receivers and how they rank, we were all really pretty much different on how they went, you know, whether it's Ridley, Moore, Gallup, Miller, Sutton, Kirk, Washington. You know, we were all kind of just different in the way we went. But in the way we do things, if two guys have a guy at a certain spot, the third guy's out. And that was the case for the quarterbacks, because KT and I had Josh Rosen as our number one guy, and Jeff had, I believe it was Jackson, was his number one guy, if I'm right, the argument. You know, now the conversation came, okay, where do you have Baker Mayfield? Well, KT and I had Baker Mayfield in the second round. So with that being said, you know, on our board, there was the discussion of, okay, where does he go? Well, Jeff has a first-round grade on him. KT and I have a second, so the twos went out over the one. That's just the way our board's put together, and you understand that. You're not going to win every single battle. And to Jeff's credit, he said, listen, I just want you guys to acknowledge where I have Baker Mayfield. And, you know, KT and I both look at him and say, noted. That's what you have to do.
Noted.
And, you know, and so, you know, Jeff, he did this with the Oakland quarterback, you know, a while back. Yeah, with Carr. You know, he said, hey, listen, guys, this guy deserves to be in the first round. And, you know, he gets taken the second round. He's a productive player. So, yeah, those are the types of things when, you know, we go back in year six and we have evaluations and we start talking about these guys. Then you could say, okay, well, Jeff was right about this guy. KT was right about this guy. And then you have a little bit better working knowledge of what you want to do. But it's a fun thing to do. It is very tiring to me. And it reminds me very much of, you know, it's not like I'm sitting in an NFL draft room. I mean, that's my job on the line here, that thing here. But you want to put together the best board possible. That's the whole idea, because you do all this work. You want to make sure the names are right.
One more thing on the wideouts. You know, I noticed on your board, you guys have 14 wide receivers with top 3-round grades.
Yeah, see, that's a problem.
Yeah, so if you're drafting, how does that change your draft strategy? Because some teams are best player available, but if you can.
But why is it a problem if you have wide receiver needs?
Well, no, it's a problem because we shouldn't have 14 names. But the fact of the matter is you can't eliminate those 14 guys. Every one of them deserves consideration. Chark, Pettis, St. Brown, Smith, Wims, Cobbs, all those guys that we have on the board, say, in the third round, deserve consideration, deserve to be there. Okay, now where you look at this from a Cowboys aspect is, okay, do you have to take a receiver at 19? That's what Burglar and Jeff and KT and all of us have been arguing is, you know, you don't have to force a wide receiver at 19. You know, if Ridley, Moore, and Sutton are all guys that you like, in whatever order you like those three guys, you know, that's kind of where, you know, if one of those guys are available, yeah, you consider it as compared to, okay, what are the linebackers there? This, I have a feeling, guys, this is going to flip in a way that we saw last year where they say, okay, defensive line or defensive end is a thin position. We have to take the defensive end now because we know at 50 we're going to be able to draft a Moore, a Gallup, a Miller, a Kirk, a Washington, a Shark, somebody like that. So they might say, you know what, the depth of the position will allow us to take another position of need, whether it's a linebacker or whether it's a defensive lineman. Those are all considerations.
How do you feel about all this talk about trading the second rounder for Earl Thomas?
You know, I'm okay with that, and especially if you go ahead and grab, if your plan is to grab the receiver at 19, if you grab the receiver at 19, I'm okay with that. Now, listen, I'm talking to some guys around the league, and these are guys that I've got a lot of friends. I'm 54 years old. I've been in this thing a long time, so I understand. I have guys that I could talk to and trust. They feel like that Derwin James might be a little bit of a slider here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of mock drafts have had him no worse than 12 in a lot of those mock drafts. Okay, now what if he gets to 16 or 17, one of those spots? I mean, if I have a gut feeling that's going to happen, I might not make the Earl Thomas trade.
Right.
You know.
Why would you?
Yeah, because you're going to trade some of these picks anyway.
You're going to have to. Now, what you might want to do, though, Chop, is think about if you take a linebacker at 19.
Move back in.
Move back up from 50 to then to the 30s. Now, because we think the run of these wide receivers, our group thinks the run of the wide receivers is going to start at the top of the second round. So you need to get in that range where you could do that. You need to figure out, okay, how do I get back up in there, you know, where the Giants are picking or where Cleveland's picking or where Denver's picking to try and grab one of these wide receivers. Again, there's a lot of ways to work this. If you take one position in the at the first round and say, okay, we can, with all those picks, we can go back up in this thing. Your question was about Earl Thomas. I don't have a problem with it, guys. Because, again, I feel like that he's the best player at his position. You have a young secondary to begin with, and you have a coach here that understands what he brings to the game. So, with that being said, if you move 50 for an all-pro player for at least for 3 years, that buys that bridge to get these young kids continuing to grow, I don't think that's a bad thing
at
all.
But real quick, I think we all agree, if I can move to go up for Derwin versus moving a pick,
there's no question.
We're all picking James.
No, there's no question. Yes. There's no question of that. There's no question. The thing about it is, though, are you so locked in? Again, we've tried to tell you there's wide receiver depth in this draft.
Right.
They might say, you know what, we don't like the wide receiver depth. We want to get a guy. We want to get a receiver at 19, the one we like.
Yep.
And then we want to turn around and say, now, keep an eye on, again, there's a kid named Moore from Tre'Davious Moore from Southern Miss. I think if he's on the board, if they haven't picked a safety at 50, then at 81, I guarantee you they're going to take that kid. Moore, Tre'Davious Moore from Southern Miss at 81. Hell, they might hit him at 50 if they don't draft a safety. I think they think that much of the kid.
One more week. You're a beast. Thank you.
Appreciate you, boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.